This is KCLA FM, Los Angeles. Now broadcasting from coast to coast and around the world on web radio at KCLAFM.com. Stay tuned for more.
You ready?
WebRadio.com, your internet radio destination for the new millennium. Live anytime, any day, from anywhere. It's WebRadio.com. Nothing can compare to what's happening across the network. So come listen to this station live at WebRadio.com with music, news, sports,
whatever your taste
is. It's there. Web Radio also has some cool giveaways all the time. Be sure to check it out. WebRadio.com.
We're listening to the Dating Advice Girl radio show on 99.3 KCLA FM, your source for dating advice in Los Angeles.
Dating Advice Girl here on 99.3 KCLA FM in Los Angeles, California. Oh yes, that's right. Okay, so we are here for installment three of my dating panel interviews for 2017. It's going well so far. I hope you agree with me. And if you don't agree, then hopefully these next upcoming groups will change your mind and, you'll be into what's happening. So the first two groups were really great. And shout out again to all my participants who were a part of the dating panel interviews for this year that we recorded them back in January. The first two groups are great. First two groups was a group of couples and singles. Second group was men aged 50 and over, which was a really interesting group. I encourage you to listen to that episode. All of them, really. But because I don't usually work with the 50-plus crowd, it was really interesting to hear just where they are in terms of dating and relationships over 50. I think I was surprised at how different their experiences are in some ways for those of us under 50. And just thanks for sharing and being so candid. So this group is another group of singles, under 50, all genders, or a lot of genders, I should say, and in a lot of different places in their lives. And it was a really good conversation, as they all are, really. I just love how each group has a different dynamic and different things come up for them, depending on the group and depending on who's in the group. So this, without further ado, let's just get into it. Oh, and if you do want to hear the other interviews, go to my website, thedatingadvicegirl.com, click on radio show, and you'll see all the episodes there. The men 50 and over was episode 153, and the group prior to that was 152. This is 154. I can't believe we're in the 150s of this show. It's amazing and crazy. So this group coming up is Tebow, Tatiana, Ben, and Sari. And just thanks again for being a part of this. Oh, also, for those of you who don't know, I also did video for each of these interviews. So you can check out and actually see who you're hearing on my YouTube page, youtube.com/thedatingadvicegirl, but also go to my website, thedatingadvicegirl.com. Click on radio show and you'll see a link to the video underneath each episode. I know it's a lot of information, but you'll find it. Go to my website. You'll see it. You'll see it all happening. All right. So without further ado, this is Tebow, Tatiana, Ben, and Sari. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Thibault Laporte.
Hi, I'm Tatiana Lee.
Hi, I'm Ben Cheyenne.
Hey, I'm Sari Dion.
All right, so you guys, thanks for being here. Please tell me what dating means to you. What does the word dating mean to you? And anyone can start.
I get anxiety. Even just thinking about it, it's just, even to find take the time to even do it within a schedule and just like, it's just like, it's complicated.
It's a game that's like, if I play this game, is it possible I can actually win, or does it just keep going on a continuous loop?
Like winners and losers, everything's
Yeah.
Fine. For me, I think it's a fun way to get to know people. I've definitely gone on dates with people who ended up also being really great friends. So there's that. It's a great way. I also dated a lot when I first moved to Los Angeles, and it was a great way for me to get to know the town also. There's that.
I love what you said. Before I felt like dating is something I had to beat. I had to like break free from dating, and then finally now dating is I just turned it into what, I made it my own, which is just, it's spending time with people that I like to be intimate with, really. It's that simple. So I just don't try to complicate it more than that, because then again, what you're saying about schedules, oh my god. So yeah, just keep it fun. That's what I should.
Yeah. Don't like.
Yeah, otherwise, I used to get really anxious just thinking about dating. So.
For me, like I was telling you earlier, it's just been complicated. When I'm from a small town, and dating was great for me. Like you said, it was fun. It was just having conversation and being around someone that you want to be intimate with or something else. But moving here to LA was different for me. When I moved here, my dating life completely went away. Like, it just didn't happen. I've been on dating sites and would go to, places where I had opportunities to mingle and things like that, but it just wouldn't happen, especially being a person with a disability. It's really hard being in Hollywood and wanting to have a relationship with somebody. And I either get one end of the spectrum. I either get somebody that is just totally incompatible, where it's just, I even had a dating experience where it just went totally left and we didn't even finish the date. I was like, take me home. Like, it was just horrible. Like, all he wanted to do was take me up to like a high rise somewhere in the hills and make out with me, and didn't even want to take me to dinner or anything. And I'm like, really? Like, is that what we're doing? Like, it's just not gonna happen.
Teenage. Teenage stuff.
Yes. It's either that, or it's some guys don't even look my way or even think that I would be a candidate for dating, or they kind of friend zone me. So dating has definitely been hard for me since I've been in LA, and that's why I say it's like, I kind of dread it. So
going on what you just said, the fascinating thing about LA is that a lot of people complain about LA guys and LA girls, but at the same time, I fully admit that I've met some of the most amazing people here, both male friends and female friends, but also people I've dated, and so it's the paradox is that I don't know why most of the time these amazing people, you can't date them for some reason. So everyone's stuck dating outside this pool of amazing people you've met in LA.
What do you mean by that? Like, there's amazing people that you can't date?
For instance, like, if I had to cross the threshold with every female friend, I feel like it's almost like... You can't really go back. You can't undo what you did.
Exactly.
And so, in my experience, crossing that line, It's very likely that the friendship will end. I thought about it too.
You can unfriend.
Yes, but then it makes it complicated, because I do have a lot of friends that are guys, and we click really well and have so much fun, but then you almost have that fear of taking it across that threshold for the fact that, okay, if it doesn't work out, then you lose that friendship, or that friendship is gone.
Yeah.
So that makes it complicated too, because you're like, okay, is it worth taking it there, or is it worth to just keep the friendship and just leave it there and not take it there? So it's like,
I'm very scientific in my approach to this stuff. So if I dated one person from one culture or whatever and it went terribly, I don't assume that it's always going to go like that. But then if it's happened twice, then suddenly, okay, that is on my radar.
You start feeling a
pattern. But for one friend for sure, it went south, and I don't think it ever fully recovered like it was before, for sure. So the problem is that's so emotionally traumatizing in a way that you, even as a scientific, you're like, I don't want to attempt that again because it was so horrible. So yeah, I have all these amazing female friends, and I could totally marry them, like, it's, you know, but I'm not in that place, so it's one of those things. And it's also, you know, there's the idea of the one. You also feel like if he really was the one, then I would know it, and I would just cross that threshold. But and then you start wondering about marriage. Like, is marriage really, should it be the one, or should it just be a friend like this where we, you know, we're on the same wavelength? So it's always that's one problem in LA, is everyone's holding out for something better. I will admit that. I'm still holding out on my dream. Mm-hmm. Even though I know these amazing people, so.
Wow. It's like I trade off for a little more.
Yeah, oh god. Which makes me feel terrible about what.
This other LA stereotype is that, like, we're all really flaky. Or that, like, it's like people are so flaky.
Yeah.
Like, people cancel out.
Well, no. But it's true. It's true.
Yeah.
I know.
It's basically
because
true.
I, like, totally am one. Like, I caught myself. I was like, I'm being flaky. Like, I'm being that person. Like, I will have to cancel on someone for something. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, can we push till this date? Because their schedules are kind of, like, so up in the air so much. So I think it's tough. I think a lot of people get frustrated by that. Like, if you're on the receiving end of it, like, that sucks. Like, you think, oh, like, I was really looking forward to this. And now this person wants to try a different day or whatever, or has, like, you know, rescheduled with me 3 times. And it doesn't necessarily mean that, like, I don't want to see you. It's, like, legit, we get busy. Like, I've totally been on both sides of it, where it's, like, we've got these, like, you know, but unpredictable schedules without routines.
When you're busy, more activity comes to you. It's like, I've been waiting for this opportunity. I have to prolong this one because I've been waiting for this one, and now it knows I'm busy, so it came to me.
Murphy's Law.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
Yes. I will say, though, that's one of the, it's almost like an LA etiquette, and that's how you end up knowing, you know, whether someone's a good candidate or not, is because, are they just canceling, or are they rescheduling? That's already
That's true.
Because I'm guilty of that, too, sometimes.
You can feel the difference, though.
Oh, yeah, you can feel it.
A lot, and then I'll have my sister, she's like, oh, he seems like he's a really nice guy, I want you to talk to, and I'll find something wrong, I'm like, but no, he does, and then she's like, why won't you just be so open, and I'm just like, I can't, because like you guys said before, like, I have that idea of that person, that saving up for that person, so it's like, when you are waiting for that person, it's like, you want those, that person that meet all those criteria, so now it's kind of like, I'm learning to open myself up to not a checklist, but more of just how that connection is with someone.
There's always something wrong with everybody. No one's perfect, right? No one's perfect, but it's like...
And I'm very...
I found her. The one right here. Thank you. Give me to my wife. Marry me, please.
I feel like my family gets mad at me because I'm like, I'm damn near close to perfect.
Perfection. I believe because it's energetic. It's like what the one thing I've learned about dating the most is and friendships as well is it's I know that sounds cliche and probably new agey LA stuff, but it's all energy. So it's so true that when one girl you know, I knew of for like 20 years because she was like my brother's friend's sister, and it turns out she lives in LA now and all that, and so she had to cancel like the first 2 or 3 times we tried getting coffee. Then when I finally met her, energetically it was like, you know, I approached the date like, oh, I gotta be super like you know, well behaved and secular because it's my brother's friend, like a family friend.
Secular.
And, like, within like 10 minutes, I was like, oh man, I'm just gonna tell her everything. Like, we just completely hit it off. So that's what I look for now. You know, it's effortless. It's like you look for those people where it's effortless. Like, it doesn't bother you for a second that they canceled because you know they're good for it. They're gonna get you. You know, they'll see you soon anyway. Seeing them isn't draining. You get back and you're energized. You look. You know. You. They make you. I don't know. I just. I. I feel like after enough experience dating, it's almost like building up that radar, and suddenly you're able to be like, oh, this person, yeah. And I actually, for me, dating it with whether it's romance or friends as well, I actually apply a lot of the same criteria now. It's like, does someone really, do I really enjoy seeing that guy, like, as a friend? So am I going to make time for that, or is he going to, like, you know, question my life and whatever?
Like, is it a chore?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you guys believe in true love or a relationship that could potentially last forever? Is that something you think is real or not at this point?
I believe, because I have an aunt and uncle that have been married for over 30 years.
Are they happy?
Yeah, they are. He's happy being wrong. And she's happy being right. And they get along just fine. You know, they don't have any kids, so they had a stress-free marriage. So...
I believe you can
That's
have
what
a,
they said, their words.
I believe you can have a lasting relationship, but it takes a lot of work. One of my favorite couples is my aunt and my uncle, and they've been together for well over 20 years, and I've seen them go through their struggles, but they stay together, and they work it out, and they work with each other, and I think that's just so amazing. And I feel like if you're in a relationship and you guys are in it together, and it's 50-50, and you guys are working together, because I've seen some relationships where one person is giving their all, and then another person's kind of giving a little bit, and then, you know, but if you really want to work together to build something and to build a family and a life, it's a really a partnership. It's like you guys are in this for the long haul. But I do honestly believe in that, and you know, that's what I want. I don't want a relationship where I'm with you and then like 2 years down the line we're divorcing. Like,
I may have a very depressing answer to that. I completely believe in true love. I think it's irrefutable because it happens. You know,
that poster doesn't believe in it.
Yeah. Hold on.
It's happened. I mean, we see it all around. You know, like some people make it. So it's sort of irrefutable. However, I think the dark secret, or I'm not sure, but is it meant for everyone? I feel like, you know, there's billions of people on this planet. I think and you look at nature documentaries, like one of the goats gets mauled by the bear. Like, so it's just a part of nature. So I don't think it's very realistic to assume that we're all here on this planet and it's been designed so perfectly that we're all going to meet the one. Mm. I think that's really mis-selling it to kids when we try to make it sound like that, because I think there's true love, which is maybe very exceptional and definitely possible, but you shouldn't expect it. And then there's lasting love. That's something else, where I think a lot of marriages that might be confused for true love are lasting love, where it's the type of love that's like fusion, so it just lasted, you know, until death. And then there's, you know, all the other forms of love that might end up in divorce, I guess. But yeah, there's the true love, I think, is for sure the word is there for a reason.
Yeah, I think that kind of piggybacking on what you said about just it's not meant for everyone. People are built differently. There's some people who are just not built to be monogamous. But there are plenty of people that are, you know? And I think it kind of takes, like, two people who are, like, really deeply interested and who value monogamy
Need
to guess.
Okay, I have to completely... One of the fascinating things for me in LA has been exploring the polyamorous community. I have a lot of polyamorous friends. I know myself now. I know it could be completely dedicated and committed to monogamous marriage, which probably would happen only if it was truly the one and true love. But otherwise, I'm actually very open to polyamory, and it's one of the biggest misconceptions is that it's not true love. Like, I there's totally polyamorous people that are married or in a relationship with probably their, you know, true love or lasting love, but I've come, this might be politically incorrect or whatever, I don't know, but I've come to see polyamory almost more at like homosexuality. It's not some kind of choice, it's who they are.
Oh, yeah.
It's like they just love multiple people.
Okay.
And so maybe that happened for centuries where they did love multiple people, but they had to be in a monogamous marriage because that was the only choice.
Oh, they've been told society
is becoming comfortable with, you know, alternative lifestyles. I think it's coming up. Like, there's a polyamorous community that's saying, like, this is who we are.
I know. I have a couple friends who've said, you know, I don't know if I could ever be married to one person for my whole life.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, well, what's great is that now there's just kind of a way to name it and frame it for themselves, to know, like, oh, you know, on this say it's a spectrum, right? You know, to be like the one real end of polyamory and the other end of it. Like, they know, like, okay, I'm somewhere on this side of it. And then that way they're not getting into relationships with people who are, like, diehard monogamy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And presenting a false self. Like, they can at least have words to express, like, I'm a little bit more polyamorous than someone else. And I think that's probably a helpful thing. If more people are aware of that, check in with themselves, like, discover that for themselves, and then they can be honest with other people.
Do you want to be in that type of lifestyle or not? Because I know for myself, I'm like, I'm not sharing my man with anybody.
You've redeemed yourself because you use the word spectrum.
Oh, I was, like, not redeemed before. No. I was, like, catching...
I'm gonna jump in on the monogamy thing. Like, I come from a family of divorce, so I don't necessarily believe in it because I didn't see it firsthand. I saw it blow up. So it's like, sometimes people want what they had. If they had parents that stayed together, they might want to have a family like they had. But I don't necessarily want that because I didn't see it. You know?
Wow.
So.
Yeah, it's really ironic because my parents, you know, had a perfect marriage. They never really had big fights. They never, I don't think any of them cheated. And so I should totally believe in the monogamous, you know, deal we've been sold since we were children. But ironically, I don't. It's just, even though my parents had that perfect marriage, I still... I'm very suspicious of this institution that they've been seeing.
that raised you.
It's clearly an institution that works for plenty of people. It's that it might not work
for everyone.
The word plenty. I mean, what is it, 50-50 now? Or is
50-50.
It
50-50.
Right.
It's
an institution that works for half the people.
A decent amount.
At the end of the day,
it's to each its own. It's like, whatever makes you happy, and just be true to yourself, like you said, and just be who you are, and just, you know, like you said, check in with yourself and see what works.
Okay, can you guys give me your names one more time?
Thibault Laporte.
Tatiana Lee.
Ben Cheyenne.
Sari DeYoung.
Give me them one more time.
Okay, we don't need to hear him one more time. We got it. Sorry, that's my mistake. So thank you so much to Thibault, Ben, Sari, and Tatiana. Such an interesting conversation, right? So I revisited that group. We have one more. We're going to do one more session with that group on this show, maybe next episode or the episode after that, because they it was like not enough time. They had so much more they wanted to say. And so I'm like, all right, well, let's just say it then. Like, I'm not trying to, I want to hear everything everyone has to say. So, look out for that group again. Plus, I think there's one more person who's added to that group later on. But again, so interesting, right? I just think it's so interesting. You know, what, as you could probably tell, what I do is I give a first question, and then, you know, I'm a very structured, planned out person. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to have this list of 10 questions I'm going to ask. But what I learned last year when I did this panel interview series is that if I ask one question to the group answers that question. And then it's like they all have different ideas or different thoughts about that first question. And then they just take it on their own. And it just spawns all these different conversations, which I love. It's more organic that way, you know. It's more like, it's not me putting them in this box of answer this question. It's more of, you know, here's one question that I'm going to ask to start off, and then you guys tell me your thoughts generally about this topic and related topics. So I just love it. It's just great. I hope you guys are getting something out of this too. And again, just to hear from your peers, like, just to hear what other people's experiences are. Again, you probably could relate to some things, probably couldn't relate to other things. Maybe some things made you angry. Maybe some things made you happy, you know. But again, I think it's just good to hear other people's experiences and perspectives. So that's it. That's the next group. That's group three, you guys. We have two more groups. Like I said, this group again with one or two more people added, and then another group. And there you go. And again, if you want to hear any of the other previous groups from this specific go-round, in 2017, go to my website, thedatingadvicegirl.com, click on radio show. And if you want to hear the groups from last year that we did, those are from 2016. Those are also on the website. So you can go there. All of those have videos too, so you can actually see who you're hearing from. You know, it's interesting because I feel like there's one specific group we're going to get to possibly next week that was more intense with their feelings that they were sharing. But last year when we did this, there were a couple of groups that got really, it was really emotional for some of the participants. And again, however it comes out, I love it. And I'm just grateful and humbled by those of you who have been willing to share. So again, thank you to all the participants to share your feelings and experiences, some things that are very private and possibly traumatic with all of us. That's really amazing that you're willing to share that with us. And again, partially of just hearing people's experiences and being able to relate to each other and seeing that we're not all that different. And if we do have a small difference, the main goal is the same. There you go. Yay. All right, you guys. So thanks so much for listening to this episode of A Dating Advice Girl Radio Show on 99.3 KCLA FM in Los Angeles. And I will see you again soon. Have an amazing weekend, whatever your time frame is. Enjoy it.